let's just kind of jump into this. I think the first thing that I would like to know is, you're talking about ancestral land in Utah called the Bear's Ears. Tell me a little bit about that land first.
Okay, the Bear's Ears region is located in southeastern Utah, a few miles from Blanding, in the same area as the homelands of the Navajo and the Ute, who currently reside in that area. Ancestral lands of many tribes, the Navajo, the Hopi, the Zuni, the Ute tribes, and the Apaches. There's been a variety of tribes that have come and gone through the many centuries, and that's one of the biggest reasons why we feel so compelled to protect the area. It's not only the ancestral homelands of several tribes, but it is also the final resting places of our ancestors, and those final resting places deserve to remain at peace. And currently a lot of looting, grave digging has happened, which we feel is unnecessary. We would never do that to a cemetery or a family plot. We think that the final resting place of our ancestors deserves the same respect that we would provide to any family or group of people that have people buried. So it's a final resting place, but it's also a place where cultural activities occur, the harvesting of wood, the collection of medicinal herbs, and the place of where many tribes have done and conducted ceremonial events. And so there's a variety of reasons why this location is very special to a lot of tribes. And we feel very strongly about wanting to see the adequate protection and preservation of the area.
I have to admit, I have not heard very much about the Bear's Ears area. Has it not been publicly recognized?
Well, publicly, I think that it hasn't been, just out of the sake of that it is an area where is viewed as public lands, but in some ways it's kind of a hidden treasure. It's a phenomenal place for climbers. The Indian Creek area is a world-renowned area that climbers come to. So it's a hidden treasure, and I can see why some people would want to kind of keep it on the down low. But as we have embarked on this conversation and wanting to seek a designation per the request of President Obama, this now initiates a different conversation. And so many Utah state leaders and the governor have lobbied for and have presented what is called the Public Lands Initiative. They are wanting to pursue things like developing the land for energy, developing it for recreation. And the Bear's Ears region is merely a small portion of that initiative, but we feel very strongly that it's not addressing the protection that's well deserved. It's not going to address trying to let the land heal, because it heavily advocates for what's going to be known as an energy zone, which will initiate and allow for new permits for potash mining, uranium mining, which can be very invasive. So, you know, it is a hidden treasure in many aspects, that the land is beautiful, the natural resources are vast, but it's also a target of energy development, as well as some recreational development. So you can see why the arguments are very strong on both sides.
How many acres, how much of an area are you asking to be set aside and protected?
So within the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition, we provided a proposal that will include 1.9 million acres, and that's what we would very much like to see maintained. But, you know, we also are of the understanding that, you know, as things move along, should this conversation really get taken seriously, that there's going to be give and take. So, you know, we're very aware that the reason the boundaries were set at and the amount was set at 1.9 million, it's vastly validated by a lot of the cultural sites, which it doesn't even nearly cover what really should be protected. But being that a lot of those areas are belonging to private owners, that doesn't allow for some of that protection to occur. And a lot of the private owners that are along a lot of the boundaries, really, you know, there's so much there that still needs protection, but we can only do with the public lands area to address what we would like to.
What would happen to the private owners that are either in the Bears Ears area or alongside of it?
Well, everything will, you know, everything that's currently in place, whether that's private owners, they'll maintain their property. If they have existing grazing agreements, those will still remain intact. And likewise with any of the mineral leases, anything that's already pre-existing, they will still remain. So when they look at the impacts, it's the lands that are deemed public lands that will be considered for designation, whether it's under the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition's proposal for a national monument, or whether it's a part of the public lands initiative by the state's leaders.
Give me some idea. When you say you want it designated as a public monument, how are you going to go about doing that, and just what is a monument exactly?
Okay, so one of the things that the coalition of tribes is requesting from the president is to utilize the Antiquities Act of 1906. And that basically entails that there is an area that is looking or requires some protection. The antiquities meaning things like some burial sites, archaeological sites, and that's well within that authority. Now, when we speak to wanting to make sure that some of that, the challenges of making sure that it gets the proper protection, that's where we as a coalition see that we can bring to the table some solutions to help address some of this. But this is a conversation that is well included in what many tribes possess that are federally recognized, and that's the sovereign voice, to come to the table and propose and have government-to-government discussions. And we have what's called the Self-Determination Act, which would allow us to help bring funding into the mix of this should that ever be a possibility. So we've thought about a variety of different ways that we can bring solutions to the table to be a part of a decision-making body to help manage and help make decisions and be a part of management plans.
How many Native Americans live in the area right now? Do you have any idea?
Well, I don't have an accurate number, but the large percentage is Navajos. The Ute Mountain Ute Tribe also has a community within the area there, the White Mesa community. We have about 300 350 tribal members and community members who live in that. The Navajo Nation probably has thousands. I don't have a firm number on the number of Native Americans that live on the reservation. And then there's also, of course, those that live off in the communities in and around Blanding and various areas within San Juan County.
Now, there was a large population in the Bears Ears area for a long time, was there not?
Yes, yes. Currently, for example, right now the Navajo Nation, their boundaries are adjacent to a good portion of the region. But the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe, we still have trust assets within the footprint of the current Bears Ears proposal by the coalition, as well as within the area that even the Public Lands Initiative covers. So, you know, we don't currently have anybody living on those parcels of land because everybody's been moved into the community per a lot of the infrastructure that is provided for communities, but we still have that within that area.
Were Native Americans forcibly removed from the area?
Yes. And we all know that through the allotment era and through the Indian Reorganization Act, a lot of Native Americans were relocated onto the reservations. And so, you know, we have a lot of people that were forced to move into homes that were nothing like what their native structures were. I have a grandmother who told me stories about being taken out of that specific area where her family grew watermelons and had an orchard and ran their livestock in and around the Bears Ears area. But when they took them to the reservations and had the children taken to boarding schools, she spoke of being so lonely out there and wanting to run away to come home that she did do this. She did run away to come home because she was so lonely. And just to see the heartbreak in her eyes when she tells these stories, and I mean, to this day, my grandmother is pretty close to being about 100 years old, and is still in this life, and we're very, very fortunate because this is a real live account of what it was like to live in that area, and she is quite a blessing to listen to the beautiful stories and the life that was once in that area that her family took part in, partook of the land.
When Native Americans were removed from the land, was it given to somebody else? Was it used for government purposes? What?
It was given to other groups of people, and it was used for other purposes by the federal government. A large part of those lands became U.S. Forest. Parts of it are now managed by BLM. So they were given to other agencies to help manage and to care for. So the tribes were taken out of there. You know, I know that historically the Ute Mountain Ute tribe initially in the Allen Canyon area, that was one specific location that was due to have been originally the site for the Ute Mountain Ute Agency. But because outside forces said, we don't want that to be located there, move the Indians somewhere else, we were relocated and pushed over to the other side of what is now known as the Ute Mountain. So our agency currently today is within the Colorado state boundaries, located in the southwestern portion of the state. Had things have been a little different, there might be an agency located right in the region.
Now, if the government maintains control of a lot of this, wouldn't that make it easier to turn it into a national monument?
Well, yes, and there's a couple of key factors even at that. If the federal government does, if the president does designate utilizing the Antiquities Act, one of the key points of our proposal is that a commission would be established where each one of the tribes would be at the table, and that we would all have an equal footing in decision making. And that's absolutely important, but that's also different from what is currently or what has been proposed within the Public Lands Initiative. We would like to be a deciding factor rather than sit in an advisory capacity, constantly providing consultation, which historically consultation and advisory positions don't always mean that our input actually affects the change that needs to occur. Sometimes we feel it's just lip service, and we would really like to be able to provide that level of traditional knowledge to help to maintain and manage some of the lands, but to be a big part at the table to provide decision making within the area.
Do you have any idea, off the top of your head, how many sensitive sites, how many sensitive areas there are within the area you want made into a national monument?
Oh, there has to be well over 10,000 sites.
Those would include what?
They would include burial, they would include ceremonial sites, they would include Puebloan structures along the hillsides, kivas, areas that were known as sites where ceremonies were conducted. So there is, plus there's probably, you know, areas where you could look on the ground and see, come upon arrowheads and pottery shards. There's well over 10,000 documented. I'm sure there's many more that are undocumented.
And under your proposal, would I be right to assume that what you're looking for is not to exclude people, but to protect what's there in the Bears Ears area?
Precisely. We strongly feel that the protection provided under a national monument designation would help us to go down that road and provide that level of protection and just oversight on many levels. We understand that that's going to be a challenge, but a lot of times Native American tribes and people are often left out of the discussion, hence they're left out of the decision. We feel very strongly that this would be a compelling way that we could help to change and heal how conversations are had with tribes and other agencies in the federal and the state local areas.
Is there any protection available right now in this 1.9 million acres you're looking to protect?
There is some protection, and just even at that, it's not very effective. Just a couple of weeks ago, our Tribal Historical Preservation Office had informed me that there were, on that exact day, that they had identified 5 sites which had been looted, and that they had to stabilize one that was so badly desecrated so that it would not fail, and they needed to make sure that it was properly preserved. And so, you know, even as we speak today, it is a current active item that just seems to be vitally, it's just needed, that we need to have some protection and oversight of that stuff.
Do you have any idea what is being taken from these sites when they're looted, or do you have any idea who is doing the looting?
No idea who's doing the looting, and items that may be taken are things that may be like pottery, baskets, funerary objects, things that may have been buried with people who had passed, you know, the, I want to call it the grinding stones. I just came back from attending a Utah tribal leaders meeting in Cedar City, Utah, this past week, and I had received several accounts of people saying they had gone into antique stores and they were finding things like the grinding stones. So, you know, people are picking these things up thinking that it's okay to take, and it really isn't. It's based upon where those specific locations are. It may be against the law. If it's on private land, that might be a little bit different. But, you know, when you're out there in a public, in the public area, you just cannot pick things up and take it home and add it to your collection.
Can things that are found in stores for sale be reclaimed in any way?
They can, and like what we experienced this past weekend, as soon as you start asking those types of questions, all of a sudden it's no longer for sale. It's a private collection. So people are real smart about things, and so, you know, we can try, definitely, at every cost, we can definitely try. But that doesn't always mean it will actually happen in reclaiming or repatriating some of the items that we may see out there.
I have read that there is only one law enforcement officer to protect the area you're wanting to have set aside. Is that in fact the case?
That is very true. The amount of human resources in that area are very, very thin, which is one of the reasons why we feel very compelled that this needs to be done so that we can address that specific item to help provide the monitoring and the management of the area.
So you have now asked the president to set aside this area as a national monument. Do you have any idea when a decision might be made?
No, I don't know when a decision will be made. We remain very hopeful that it will be very soon, we hope, but we also understand that this is going to be a area and a subject that will take a lot of thought and a lot of consideration. But on a positive note, we haven't heard the door go close yet. So we are very, very positive that we will stay on top of this as long as we need to.
What happens if President Obama doesn't make a decision?
Well, if he doesn't make a decision, then I guess we have to continue the fight, but then that means we're going to have to re-educate a new administration, a new president. So it would just put the amount of work back on the group of tribal leaders. But I feel very strongly and compelled that the discussion would not stop.
Give me some kind of idea what kind of support you have from around the country for this.
Oh, the support around the country. Well, right now we really, really focused on the Utah area and surrounding tribes. A lot of the groups of tribal leaders. So currently we have the All Indian Pueblo Council of New Mexico, who have passed a supporting resolution. We have the National Congress of American Indians, who have passed a supporting resolution. And very recently, the Utah tribal leaders have passed a supporting resolution, as well as various individual tribes who also support it with either a resolution or a support letter. We continue to advocate to all Native American tribes and nations to join the effort. So as we hit the ground hard and really try to focus on a lot of the local people, there is a movement of community members who also have supported in and around the state of Utah. And as we make our way through, we utilize things like the website and our Facebook page to continue to advocate and gain support from all individuals.
Give me some idea who's against this.
Currently, the state of Utah's governor, the majority of the state legislatures and the delegation, as well as several of the county commissioners. So, you know, in all essence, the state's leaders are very against the National Monument designation.
Is that because it would affect taxes, it would affect business? What's the reason behind their negative feelings?
I think that a part of this is coming strongly from the idea that Utah is a very, very energy-heavy state, and the way they view the development of energy is an economic development opportunity. And specifically in the San Juan County, they state it has one of the highest unemployment rates, and so they view that this would negatively impact their ability to continue to go down the road of economic development for an area like San Juan County.
So at this point, are you optimistic that you're going to eventually see the designation as a national monument?
I am extremely optimistic. I am carrying the blessings of a lot of my elders who continue to support this. They continually say their prayers, and they always express to a lot of us that we need to keep moving forward. We need to make sure that we care for our ancestors with honor and integrity. These are absolutely important marching orders, and I would not do anything less than to honor the words of my elders. And my elders say, keep going. We can't stop now.
Okay. Now, let me... You are Regina Lopez White Skunk.
That is correct.
A member of the Ute Mountain Ute Tribe and
yes.
A member of the Bears Ears Intertribal Coalition.
That's correct, and I also sit on the Ute Mountain Ute Tribal Council.
Okay, is there anything that I should ask that I didn't ask here?
Yes. I would like to continue to advocate to anybody who has any questions to go to the website. And you can Google that on the web or search it in the Explorer Bears Ears National Monument proposal and read the full proposal, read what's been in the media, and contact information. We have a petition online that those that would like to join the effort are welcome to.
I appreciate your time today.
Thank you.
And wish you the best of luck.
Thank you. I appreciate that as well.